This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Wednesday, March 17th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, nearly half of San Miguel adults have first COVID vaccine dose. Planet Bluegrass leans towards two-weekend festival. Mountain Film prepares for in-person event and a mountain weather forecast. But first, we've been here for 45 years, and we're not going anywhere. But thanks to your support, KOTO can continue to grow and serve this community. Show your support for local, independent radio by calling 970-728-4333 or going to koto.org to donate. And thank you. To date, nearly half of San Miguel County's adult population has received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine, and a number of them have gone out of county to get it. That's according to San Miguel County Public Health Director Grace Franklin.
We have about 800 people who have received vaccines elsewhere, which is really great that has been accessible.
Franklin notes that 800 number is coming from a state database, and there are duplicates. So the exact number is still fuzzy. Just over 2,500 people have received their first dose of the vaccine in county, and nearly 20% of the population in San Miguel is fully vaccinated. The numbers come as the county and the state as a whole shifts into phase 1B4 of vaccine distribution.
This will wrap in our folks 50 and older, frontline essential workers in food and restaurant services, postal service, those essential workers that work in frontline human service, and a few other different pieces.
1B4 will begin on Thursday, and according to Franklin, it will likely be the final phase before the state opens vaccine eligibility to the entire population.
There was a lot of advantage to it early on. There's a lot of advantage to it currently as we wind up towards that general phasing, but the overall sentiment is that they want to make vaccines available to anybody who wants them by mid-April.
As residents continue to be vaccinated in county and travel elsewhere to get their jab, County Commissioner Hillary Cooper says residents shouldn't feel guilty.
Please don't have any kind of guilt or any anxiety or, you know, any issues about getting vaccinated. Go do it wherever you can get vaccinated.
Public health officials in San Miguel note the county has a solid supply of vaccine doses and feels comfortable with their ability to provide the vaccine to all residents who are eligible and would like to get it. At the same time, Colorado is shifting the way it will allocate some vaccines. The state is ramping up vaccine shipments to several large clinics around the state that Governor Jared Polis says will eventually be able to inoculate as many as 6,000 people per day. Those clinics will be open to anyone who wants to register. One of the max vaccination sites will be in Grand Junction. Governor Jared Polis was in Colorado Springs on Wednesday to open the first. Other clinics scheduled to ramp up appointments by early April will be in Loveland, Pueblo, Commerce City, and Denver. On April 9th, 2020, Planet Bluegrass announced the cancellation of the 2020 Bluegrass Festival due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, a little less than a year later, the outlook for the 2021 festival looks brighter. But any sort of June musical celebration will likely look different than normal. KOTO's Matt Hoisch has more.
This week, the Telluride Parks and Recreation Commission approved a request by Planet Bluegrass to potentially expand the festival from one weekend to two. The festival organizer now has to pick between two options: either going forward with the usual major festival on Solstice weekend with capacity greater than 3,000 people per day, or holding two minor festivals that would happen the weekend before Solstice weekend on Friday through Sunday and Solstice weekend, Thursday through Sunday. Under the second option, Parks and Recreation Director Stephanie Jacquet explains, both weekends would have fewer than 3,000 people per day.
This is a similar size event to Jazz Festival traditionally.
During the smaller festival weekends, music would also start later in the day, with artists playing from 5 to 10:30 p.m. the first day of each weekend and 3 to 10:30 p.m. the other days. Typical bluegrass weekends have music from 10 a.m. to as late as 1 a.m. Jacquet says the smaller festival weekends would only occupy the southern half of Town Park and leave some areas open to public access that are traditionally used during a typical bluegrass weekend.
So the following areas would remain open to the public during the festival, and that would be Warner Field, the Oval, the skate park, the basketball court, the parking lot, and Elks Park.
The two options are meant to give the festival flexibility as public health restrictions shift in the coming weeks. Colorado is expected to release a new COVID dial 3.0 with updated, potentially looser restrictions later this spring. With both options, the festival must adhere to state, county, and local public health regulations. Under the request approved by the commission, Planet Bluegrass has until April 15th to decide between the one weekend and two weekend approaches. But, speaking at the Parks and Rec meeting, festival organizer Greg Ferguson says Planet Bluegrass expects capacity to peak around 2,500 people.
Day by day, it's becoming very clear to us that the second weekend would not be larger than a minor event really under any circumstances. And we feel like it's time to best plan for two small events, even in consideration of the town being able to look towards our events to start, then grow from there as appropriate. I'm assuming that we're going to decide before too long to go with these two minor events, is how I look at it, as opposed to one.
Ferguson didn't go into detail on what the lineup would look like, but hints at a smaller group of musicians.
A lot of the big shot headliners have asked to please come in 22 because it's kind of on their bucket list, so this would just be our core artists.
When it comes to tickets for locals, Planet Bluegrass, Ferguson explains, plans to have locals, quote, be a big part, unquote, of the 2021 festival, but the specifics remain undecided.
Not quite sure how to do that in the context of this meeting today as far as promises, but we're very well aware of the importance and the problem of the local tickets, and it's a little tricky in this circumstance.
The request passed the Parks and Rec Commission 4-1. Commissioner J.J. Osula was the lone no vote, but did not explain why. Commissioner Jim Denny recused himself from the vote due to affiliations with events and rental companies. This isn't the last hurdle for Planet Bluegrass. The Telluride Commission for Community Assistance, Arts, and Special Events also has to approve the request for a modified festival. And of course, the evolving state of the pandemic over the coming months will also shape what any sort of 2021 Bluegrass Festival looks like.
While events and festivals across the summer, such as Bluegrass, plan and think about a second summer unlike any other, one festival is already in its final stages of preparation. In 2020, Mountain Film was the first festival to turn on a dime and reimagine its events during COVID. 1 year later, it's also the first summer event set to come back for an in-person or hybrid festival.
We're Mountain Film. You know, like if anyone's going to do it, and it obviously added a ton of work. It's adding a ton of work, figuring out social distancing and pods and reservations and making sure that we're going to do this as safely and securely as possible for our local community. But it kind of felt like here was this opportunity for Mountain Film to shine once again. And that's kind of who we are. So we felt like we had to go for it.
That's Suzanne Barraza, Festival Director for Mountain Film. The festival will maintain its week-long virtual festival in line with what took place last year, but Sage Martin, executive director at Mountain Film, says this year they are also inviting the community back for limited in-person gatherings.
Over the Memorial Day weekend, our usual festival weekend, we will have a smaller in-person component. It won't be the Mountain Film that people are used to. It will just be a little bit smaller, more intimate. We're running 5 theaters. We're running Town Park, Lawson Hill Fields, and Transfer Warehouse as our outdoor theaters.
There will also be indoor showings at limited capacity at the Palm Theater and the Conference Center. Mountain Film favorites like the Symposium, Picnic, and Ice Cream Social won't take place this year, but there will be limited events with festival guest director Hillary Nelson.
It makes it easy because she's here and she's into the outdoors, so we can have people off on a hike with Hillary and do that right here in Telluride.
Barraza and Martin emphasize the in-person festival this year is for locals. They don't want people flying in from across the country or world, both as a safety concern, but also as a way to give back to the community.
This is really important for us to show up and be here and connect. We've all been locked down for so long, and this is it's our gift back to the community that has supported us for so long. And we are also dying to connect with our community. I don't know if we could do another online year. You know, it killed us, and we love it, and we want to connect, even if it's going to be on a smaller level. And it's Mountain Film, it's Indomitable Spirit, and we can show up and we can be here and connect with our community that's given us so much love and support over the years.
The 2021 festival season will inevitably look different from years past. But as vaccines roll out and days get longer and warmer, a summer of connecting over the love of film and music feels more and more possible. Tickets for Mountain Film 2021 are available at mountainfilm.org. Special early bird passes are also available through Thursday with the code LOCALS. Anxiety is common. Whether severe or mild, many people experience stress or anxiety. A recent survey showed nearly 40% of high school students in Telluride felt stressed more than 4 days per week during the pandemic. It's a common struggle, but one that's not discussed enough, if you ask Tri-County Health Network. That's why Tri-County and the San Miguel Communities That Care Coalition will be hosting two events to address the topic. The first event, Turning Anxiety into Your Superpower, will feature Avani Dilger with Natural Highs, an organization looking to help youth make healthy choices. Dilger will present the science behind stress and share steps to manage it. The second event will be a screening of the documentary Angst, raising awareness around anxiety. The film includes interviews to tell the stories of teens and kids who are dealing with anxiety and stress. The screening will also include an interview with Olympian and mental health advocate Michael Phelps. The two events will take place on March 24th and 30th at 6 p.m. Registration is available at tchnetwork.org. The Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests will be conducting prescribed burns across the region this spring. According to the GMUG, the purpose of the burns is to reduce vegetation and thereby lower risk of large wildfires. It can also help improve wildlife habitat and ecosystem health. Burns will take place across the GMUG, including at Glencone Pine near Nucla. 450 acres will be burned to increase resiliency and reproduction of ponderosa pines. Sanborn Park, 5 miles northeast of Norwood, will burn approximately 300 acres to increase ponderosa pine resiliency and reproduction and protect nearby property from wildfire. Finally, 350 acres will be burned on Thunder Road, roughly 5 miles southwest of Norwood. The burn will look to increase resiliency and reproduction of ponderosa pine, improve wildlife habitat, increase range, and protect property from unplanned wildfires. GMUG burns will take place from March to June, depending on weather, ground, and vegetation conditions. After a quick trip to Telluride and several spottings around town, U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert spoke to supporters in Montrose on Monday. KVNF's Gavin Dahl was there and brings this report.
Republican Lauren Boebert made her first public appearance in Montrose since winning the 3rd congressional district election, speaking to a packed house at Turn of the Century Saloon on Monday night. Boebert offered a narrowly partisan message and recycling jokes to boisterous applause from the nearly all-white crowd. Wearing her trademark Glock on her hip, Boebert said that, as her supporters, those in the room are part of God's plan. She spoke adoringly of ex-President Donald Trump while claiming Democrats enacted heightened security at the U.S. Capitol simply as a power grab.
President Trump wanted to protect what and who he loved. He loved America. He loved you. What do Democrats want to protect? Have you seen the People's House in Washington, D.C.? Have you seen your United States Capitol surrounded by a gate with miles of razor wire, with thousands of armed National Guards? Democrats want to protect big government and themselves because that's who they care about. That's where their treasure lies.
Lauren Boebert failed to mention the deadly rampage Trump's supporters carried out at the nation's capital on January 6th, the same day she tweeted, quote, "Today is 1776. Her tone shifted quickly on social media. 2 days later, she began another tweet, quote, "At a time where we want our country to unify." But in Montrose on Monday, there was no talk of unity, no talk of bipartisanship, no talk of compromise. She railed against the Equality Act, which seeks to prohibit discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity, without ever explicitly using the word trans.
Well, it's called the Equality Act. Must be good, right? We all want equality, right? Must be a fantastic bill. In the Equality Act, they have ended girls' sports in America. How many girls will lose out on their scholarship because they're outplayed by a boy? How is this okay in America? How is that equality? It is far from equality. Democrats under this legislation are seeking to replace mom and dad with bureaucrats.
As the event wrapped up, one supporter from Paonia, who is convinced the 2020 election was stolen, said she felt inspired because Boebert, quote, "doesn't sugarcoat. She doesn't manipulate. She just tells common sense truth." For KVNF News and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited a Denver restaurant on Tuesday to promote the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that was approved last week. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
Harris told a restaurant owner who had to furlough many of their employees that help was on the way. She said they will soon benefit from $28 billion in financial assistance included in the rescue plan.
You employ locally. You have folks who've been working with you for a very long time, and you had to close your doors for quite some time and then try to figure out how you could do carry out. And we want to make sure that you can stay open.
Several people lined up in downtown Denver to cheer for the vice president, who is on a nationwide tour promoting the rescue plan. Colorado Republicans were not as welcoming, saying in a statement, Harris was in town to tout a, quote, partisan liberal wish list. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 15 degrees. Thursday should be mostly sunny with a high around 45 degrees. Thursday night expect mostly cloudy skies with a low around 25. Friday calls for sunny skies during the day and mostly clear skies at night with a high near 50 and a low around 30. This has been the news for Wednesday, March 17th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. We would like to thank everyone who has donated to CODO during our Winter Fund Drive. A huge thank you to Marty Langan, Ellen Eleven, Jerry Green, Trisha Van Heltbreek, Chris Myers and Aaron Reese, Steve and Michelle Hoisch, Nancy Landau, Carol Pallone, Adam Kudok, Chris Hazen and Kathy Jepson, Cindy O'Brand and family, Annie and Rick Caulfield, Karen Guglielmone, Pam Petty, Sarah Landeryou, Michael Caulfield, Deb Dion, Pam and Stu McCready, the Kroger Family Duplex, Kara Benz, Kevin Cooney, Kara Yanagita, Jim Looney, Chris and Kathy Knight, Mike Balzer, Diane Polmanter, Tom Watkinson, Rip Games, Tobin and Ann Brown, Chris Kwasniewski, Amy and Donnie Peters, and Lenny Conway. Thank you all so much. Thank you. And now, a personal commentary.
Hi, Amy. It's Sarah Kimball calling from the school. How are you?
I'm great, Sarah. What have you got in store for us today?
I've got some great senior spotlights. So I'm the principal at Telluride High School calling to highlight four of our seniors this week, members of the class of 2021. And I'm going to start off with River Albrecht. So River is a wonderful person and will represent Telluride well in his future endeavors. He's challenged himself with 6 advanced placement courses and has shown his true academic potential in those classes that feed his love of all things STEM, especially engineering. He turned first to elaborate Lego robotic creations and then to our own town's Freebox to make some of his engineering wonders. He is one of the most friendly, polite, and relentlessly upbeat students we've had here in years. Thanks to his very open and outgoing personality, he's extremely well-liked among his peers and teachers. Thanks, River. Next up is Arabella Galbo. Bella, as she goes by, joined us her freshman year after attending the Mountain School. She's challenged herself with a full complement of advanced placement courses, and along the way, she's also picked up an outstanding achievement awards in both English and studio arts, and yet she has been equally successful in STEM fields. She's a 3-sport athlete, lacrosse, volleyball, and track, the student liaison to the Angel Baskets board, and one of this year's co-directors of the TAB student show, which is going to be a video to be released soon. Most of all, Bella has never, ever left a classroom or a conference without first pausing to thank her teacher. So we thank you, Bella, for your kindness. Next is Kuhn Lichtenvelt. Kuhn joined Telluride High School during his high school years and has always been polite, articulate, and intelligent. He is a joy to have in any classrooms. His first conversation when he joined us were about radio transmission, one of Kuhn's many passions. What has impressed me most about Kuhn is his perseverance and dedication to his friends. He's pursued a variety of courses related to law enforcement and volunteer fire departments. It was reassuring to have Kuhn at our senior bonfire, ready to go if anything were to go awry. He is a jack of all trades with certifications in emergency responding and criminal justice and is passionate about helping others and has always pursued participation in extracurricular activities that prepare him to do so. Next is Morgan Watkinson. Morgan, born and raised in Telluride, she is a true long hauler. She is a scholar athlete, and Morgan's successes in the classroom may be outmatched by her leadership outside of it. She is a standout player on both our volleyball and basketball team. She leads not just by example. She's always willing to stay after practice and work on specific skills by herself or with teammates that need extra help, but thanks to a real sense of empathy for those around her. Her academic interests are wide-ranging. She's a self-proclaimed movie fanatic and a theater arts. And theater arts has a special place in her heart. So thank you, Morgan. And then, Amy, we just want to give one last special shout-out to the community today. I just want to send a lot of love as we remember Telluride High School graduate of 2009, Hannah Smith.
Well, bless her heart and her family's heart. And yep. River, Bella, Kuhn, and Morgan, congratulations as you head to the final stretch of your senior year in high school. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Amy. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.